That's so if it. You're really looking for a quick way, that's the way, in my opinion.
I love that. Cool. Great answer. And that's 100% right. There's no doubt about that. I love that you made that point to bring that up, because people have to understand that. You know, it's 100%. It's funny that I like how you ended that with, like, if you get similar results. And I think, is it Elon Musk that said that? Like, where if you want to do something great, do exactly what that another person who did exactly what you want to do, and you'll have the similar results. So do those things.
I mean, it's not going to be identical, because you got to take into consideration the exterior factors that are beyond your control. But if you just do the things that you can control and you replicate that from other people that have achieved it, you're going to get similar. It'll be in there it'll be real close.
I like that, man. That's a great way of putting it.
So John Maxwell. That's more of
the flow. That flow.
That was John. That was John Maxwell. Okay. Right. And cool. And again, great leadership, but leadership is always showing somebody how to do something. You know what I mean? I came in as a trainable student.
Sure.
And had somebody that was able to do so, which is a key piece. You got to have good teachers. You got to have good students.
But, but they also have to drink the water. You know, it's like they'll bring in the horse, and if they don't want to drink it, they won't. They have to drink it, you know, and he drank it, and he's still drinking it, you know. And there is like a secret sauce to it. You know, you do have to have that inside you. Like he said earlier, just because you have a college education, just because you are maybe a military veteran, doesn't mean that you're going to do well in the business.
Right.
I believe that everybody could, but they have to – something has to click in their brain.
But not like, everybody's meant for it. I mean, everybody has their thing in life to do.
Some people like 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, you know?
Everybody's purpose may not necessarily be tied together with the thing they do for income. I believe that we should be more shifted into a life where what pays us is part of what we're passionate about. That's just my philosophy.
Yeah.
But not everybody does that. And people live some fulfilled lives not doing a dream job, if that makes sense. But at the same time, I think that it's key that all of us find our niche, and there are few that are in the car business. If we calculate the amount of physical human beings in the car business, it is a small minority of people per the earth. You know what I mean? Related to the car business is a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking people who make it, sell it, transport it, you know, finance it. There's so many different aspects, vendors that you could keep going.
Yeah, but as far as sales and service side, right, specifically the tech to the sales guy, far, far small numbers of total humans on earth. But those that are wanting to do it, there's no reason why they can't do it if they diligently seek the answers. They're there. They're available.
Right.
You know, there's big car guys all around to pull from.
But we, you know, the painting of us, though, you know, and if we keep this painting and we keep making it better and we try to show that the future generation wants to be in this business because it's not a shady, you know, I got, you know, short sleeve, short tie, you know, I'm the car guy. But the
dope shirt, black tie. But just the car guy.
But, you know, we can show them that this is a place where you can have fun. You can smile and be honest and have integrity and be able to do things the right way and yet still make income and be able to provide greater things than you could ever imagine. The crazy thing is it's like
help people, man. Let's not forget that what we're doing here is we're allowing people, we're providing we're fulfilling the transportation needs for people. That doesn't just include buying a car. That means we help people get to work. We help people pick up their kids. We help people go on vacation. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
One of the biggest purchases that people have is their automobile. And it's one of the most important ones that they have. It's what they trust their life in every single day. And there is an honor in that. And that's why, again, the thing that shifts between us is the people that do this with honor and say, look, yeah, you may have a bad thought of the car business, but I know the car guy. I know the subprime hero. I know my man Herb Anderson. There may be some bad car guys out there. Not this one. That's my car guy. You know what I mean? That one's my guy. And that's where you have to differentiate yourself in the business. That, yes, there is a lot of stigmas, but it's in everything. Everything. Everything has its ugly stigma and why people want to stay away from it. And you choose who you do business with for everything else based off of your relationship with the product. And people. And that's where we're growing to try to show the market, hey, you can do this. We're getting car guy university growing.
Yeah, man. That's funny that you said that. Yeah, I was thinking that the whole time you were talking. But the car guy university, hashtag folks don't.
Hey, we got to start that deal, man. I like that. That's dope.
Yeah, yes, sir.
We already own the West.
Oh, shit. Okay. But anyway, that being said,
am I too late?
We're looking for professors and deans. We're looking for it all, right? So we're definitely ready to keep growing, folks. And here's the thing. This has been a great conversation, and I'm super excited. I can't help but want to just talk about a million things with him, right? And because I could see that his mind is going, and I could learn so much from him right now. And the thing is that to have a good professor inside the cafe is an amazing thing. And so I want to thank you. My third question I'm going to ask you kind of leads along with what we've been talking about. You were talking about the only shortcut is to ask somebody and they can show you these things. The only shortcut is it's much like that. You could read books. You could do all these things to learn how to do something the right way instead of doing it, failing five times or figuring it out. It's like really nice to be able to do that. And he's so right. That is the only shortcut. And really it's just a life hack. It's a great life hack. It's the only life hack you should take. But what's great about that is that when you get those types of influences, it can really fast pace you and go into a quicker, for example, like I could show Lou how to do stuff when I was selling cars and he learned it pretty quick. It was maybe something I learned. Now he picked it up quicker than me. So now instead of doing a year in the business like I was in, he could figure that out within 30 days. Right. And that's kind of what that he's talking about here.
Right.
So I felt like I was able to influence him. So as we come up in this business and we do things, we have people that we run into that kind of give us that life hack. Somebody who's been really influential, like a mentor. Who would you say has been your greatest mentor since you've been in this business?
I think I've had a lot of mentors, man. Honest with you, like every single time, like I said earlier, every single time I progressed, like there was some association, you know what I mean? There was somebody that reached back and pulled me with them. You know what I mean? So I in that regard, I feel pretty fortunate. But I mean, if I were to single somebody out in particular, and it would be the first manager that I had that I ever worked with. Well, it wasn't the first, but it was the first manager I had as a writer, as a service writer. Now, that's a guy named Frank Ramuni. So if he's watching this, man, thank you.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah, man. He is one of those guys that just took the time, man. And he taught me the ropes. And, in my path, as I started as a loop technician, I wanted to be a mechanic. My path was to be a mechanic, but he was like, no, man, like, I think you should be a writer. Like, try it for a month and see how it goes. And that kind of changed the whole direction that my career went in. So, yeah.
Dude, that is, I could promise you it's a whole different direction, Not for the bad or the good, because odds are being the type of person as you mentioned earlier, college educated or not, inside you had something already. You just needed somebody to guide you. So if you would have got into the other realm, somebody would have, like you said, reached back and showed you the way and you would have followed. You wouldn't have just heard it and not drank the water. You would have been that horse that went with him and said, okay, I'm ready to drink this water. I'm thirsty.
Man, that's some good water.
Right. That's the best water ever, right? So you were definitely that person, and that's what it takes for people to grow, is you have to listen and actually take that advice and sometimes use it, because that life hack is so important sometimes, because you can spend years thinking you're not worth it, but to find out that you could have done it in less time, it's kind of killer. But especially when you already were told how to do it and you didn't take the advice.
The one thing I want to mention here really quick, just for mentor relationships, because I think this is really important. I think a lot of times people are skeptical of mentorship relationships because they think that they have nothing to offer. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you have a lot to offer to somebody that says, hey, yeah, I'm going to mentor you. You know what I mean? The only thing that you have to, you got to remember is that it's not, just because they're ahead of you sort of a deal doesn't mean that they can't learn from you. And so a lot of the times I think that, especially in the industry, I think that we neglect, right? Or we have fear of reaching out to other people because we're like, well, they're the top salesperson in the company, or they're the top mechanic or whatever. And I, you know, what can I give? What could I offer this person? And that's not, I mean, that's just not the case.
It's so important that you have a vessel to pour into. Man, if I brew up a big pot of coffee, but I have no place to put it, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with that? There's no receptacle for that. There's nothing to take it in. Try to go open up a dojo and not have any students. You need them. Otherwise, you don't have a business. Right. You know what I mean? If you don't have somebody to teach,
right,
you're not a teacher. You know what I mean? And, yeah, and so
having but that, the student can also teach the teacher sort of a deal.
Every single time. And and that's what's key. I mean, I know if you talk to my kids, you would never believe that I'm their dad, you know, because of how smart they are. You know what I mean? But it's so much that I've learned by sitting there with them, by learning from them, by having them check me, by me learning what they've learned, by me trying to be a man because I have children to be responsible for. You know what I mean? And the thing that's so important for somebody, and what you're saying is so, so valuable, man. I'm so loving this. That if there isn't that relationship where you can get better because we're together, then we don't have a mutual relationship. You know what I mean? That is what's key inside of a relationship. Now, a teacher is always a good teacher because they know how to teach. And the best way to ever learn something is to teach it. You know, that's what makes you even better. You know, you got sharper at your skill by 100%. Sharing it with other people and just seeing it work.
The best guys on my floor train my new guys on, you know, on the, you know, like the on the job training type stuff, how to do paperwork, how to, you know, they actually have them shadow. They do all that type of stuff. And as they're being shadowed, dude, that's almost like having me stand there because they want to show off a little bit, right? They want to do their job the right way. They purposely make sure their steps are done. They purposely make sure that they're taken care of and they're asking all the right questions and not forgetting and trying to go through it too fast so they can hurry up and get to the pencil, that type of stuff.
Well, what do you think? So let me pose this question because I love what you're saying right now. What do you think is more valuable as a green pea? Do you think that it's more valuable to say, to go into the dealership and just wait on the point for somebody to show up?
Right. You won't work with them,
right? And you're gonna practice with their customer because that's what you're doing. You're just practicing with them, and you're practicing bad because I guarantee you that if unless you're like a master closer or salesperson or something prior to getting there, you're gonna fumble that a million times over, and you're just practicing bad habits. So what's more valuable, to stand there for 30 days or to go to the guy that's selling 40, 50 cars a month and be like, listen, dude, I'm not going to sell a single car. I'm just going to shadow you. I'm going to do all your paperwork, and I'm just going to sit here and just absorb anything. How valuable would it be if I just do all your paperwork for a month? You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, definitely the latter.
100. And here's what's beautiful is that guy, that veteran, every time he has a split deal that needs to go down and needs help, he's going to grab him.
Who's he going to pick? Yeah, exactly.
100%, because he's trained the way he wants him to train. I know he knows how to do his paperwork. He'll make sure my paperwork's good. Hey, listen,
right.
Yeah. Simple as that, man. And it's like you said, it teaches you so much when you get to do that. And much better than standing on the corner. The culture that I try to make sure that we don't have is people just trying. Half the time, and I hate to say it, is that we miss people. We have to tell the people there's people on the lot. I'm like, who's up? Because they're so involved on phones, they're so involved on, they're trying to, you know, do their witch take, they're trying to go online and do, make sure they're posting this, or they're following up, they're doing the stuff that, though that they should be seeing a lot, which in my day, I didn't have social media when I was on the floor. So I just had basically just my phone calls, my follow up, and then I'd be on the lot.
Or you get that beautiful call, right? Line one, sales call on line one.
Yes, sir. Right. We'd fight, trip somebody to get to that. This is not an exaggeration.
That's how we became.
You wouldn't even get mad at the dude if he tripped you. You'd fall down, but just start laughing like, oh, you
got
it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
But those were both hot. Hot. Yeah, the phone would never ring more than once. You hear, ba-ding.
Did that phone just ring?
Crazy. But
to just tag a little bit with your philosophy there, and that's more of our system, is to take a guy, make sure that we do fully train him on the things that are the most seen objections and issues that customers run into, and the way to service the customer our way. And then from there, make sure that they build a relationship with the staff that isn't where it's contentious, where you don't want to take your 40 car guy that doesn't have it in his heart to even help, and distract him with somebody else. He doesn't want to get burdened with that guy. Right. Unless that's part of his culture of wanting to make sure that he sees the other people grow with them. Because, I mean, I've been part of plenty of floors where some of the guys, especially the guys that have been on the lot for a while, you can't talk to them till you've been there 90 days. They ain't even high-fiving you. You know what I mean? If you made them a grand, you know, they're not even – they don't know your name yet. They're still, who are you?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And that's the culture, right? That's how people – that's how some of the teeth were cut in this business. But building more of a culture where it's beneficial for somebody to have an apprenticeship with somebody. My guys have – so when you come in new to our store, the biggest thing that I tell them, especially when they're shadowing our guys and their process and learning how to help people our way, it's shadows don't talk. You sit there. You pay attention. You watch this whole system go down. So they learn from the making the phone calls. They learn to processing the deal. And even if they start setting appointments, same way. You know, hey, this person's going to show you exactly how this goes down. And when you start to sprinkle that throughout the showroom where the veteran that's been here for however long starts getting a few free deals where he didn't have somebody coming in that day and the new guy has a deal come through and he gets to work that deal, you get a split deal. He learned how to do a car. He set the appointment, but he just let you do it all. That's how we learned. You know, that's how I learned until I realized I'm splitting my deals with him.
Right.
Can I try this by myself, boss? One time, if I mess up, you could throw something.
What's going on here, man?
Yeah.
But making sure that is cool on the upfront, right? But what I wanted to know is how do I not split my deals anymore? How do I do this on my own?
Yeah.
Do this like this. Okay, great. If not, you still have your brothers to grow with. So I love the culture that we have in bringing up the new people because it's beneficial on both sides, and it has to be. Otherwise, you can have a contention of, man, I don't want to help you. You're messing with my money while I make you become a guy that may not be here next month. You know what I mean?
Sure, and so
you have to build that culture.
No doubt. But, so that being said, I'm going to pass this on to Lou. Boom.
So speaking of building culture and learning things, right? You posed a great question, and I appreciate that. And you've obviously asking that question because you've dealt with the pain on both sides of it, or on at least the side of, hey, go stand outside and go meet somebody, and we'll risk our advertisement dollars with somebody that doesn't know what to do, you know, which is how the model used to be, right? And we'll let the guy here kind of train you. Good luck, kid. Get him, you know. But what was the hardest lesson in your career that you've had to learn?
Oh, that's a great question, man. Probably for me is to not take it personal, man. Like, no doesn't mean it's not personal. It just means you didn't do enough, right? You just didn't do enough. Because I believe, especially now more than ever, man, I think that people that show up to a dealership, they've already chosen you. Right. Because they're not just going to that dealer because maybe there is the convenience factor. But I think the majority of people do enough research that if they show up in today's world, they've already chosen you. So all you have to do, whether it's on the front or the back of the house, is just remove the obstacles, man. Make it easy for them to do business with you. And I think a lot of times we don't do that very well. So that would be my biggest thing. It's just it would be that for sure.
I love that. And that's very actually right there. It's the facts. Like if people don't take it personal. Because taking things personal in a business, it's going to be hard for you to move on and go to the next whole forgive, focus, fly stuff that we talk about.
It affects the next customer because there's always the next opportunity, right?
No doubt. There was a trainer, and he's still a trainer, Mark Tuart. And he was one of the first training things I went to, right? It was our dealership took us there. You probably were with me there. And one of the things that he said that I took to heart was when you have a deal, it just doesn't happen the way you want. Learn from it. I mean, take a second, but next. That was his thing. He would say, next. And you just go on to the next thing. Move on. Let it go. Because if you hold on to it, that next customer is going to feel that. It's going to feel the anxiety. It's going to feel the pressure. It's going to You can't let that weigh you down. That's why I love the Forgive Focus Fly because it's so true. Next and move on because learn, but you have to learn. don't do that same thing. Put, like you said, we didn't do enough. It's okay. Do enough next time. Make sure it is what you want. Make sure you ask the questions. Sometimes enough is for one client, so you assume the next client, you could do the same thing. It's going to work. It's not going to. It could, but people are people, so ask questions what they want. Ask them what is going to be the least path of least resistance for you to get through with them also.
I had Ali Reed on the show early on, man, like season one.
Wow.
And it's funny because me and Ali worked together when I was starting out. He was a salesperson and I was you know, just doing, you know, service like oil changes. And, you know, I was a lube tech. So we kind of shared that, you know, we started together. And, I remember one of the things that I took from that experience from early on was that, you know, like I felt like a lot of people that I was talking to that I was interacting with just had this, they were just really taking things personally, and you could see that translate on the next deal. And Ali is one of those people that always talked about, you gotta always look at your process. You always have to be looking at that. And he talked about that on the podcast. He was like, listen, if you get to 20 cars, that process isn't going to get you to 30.
Right.
You have to pause. You got to pump the brakes, and you have to like, okay, what can I do now in my process? What can I eliminate or add to my process to get me to 30? And then once you get there, you got to do the same thing. So you got to be constantly looking at it. You know, you got to be constantly look at it, and that's how you grow. And now, I mean, look at where he is now, but he didn't, and, you know, he's not doing what he did back then now, obviously. Right. And so I think that when you take a moment to really reflect on the things that you're doing with the success that you have, whatever that looks like, and you adjust, then that gets you to the next level.
I love that. It's a pivot. You got to pivot here and there. You got to make changes. And even when you feel like you're doing great, the thing is that eventually you get comfortable at whatever you're at, right? And when you get to that comfortable level, folks, that means you're not growing anymore. And even though it feels kind of good, after a while, it gets kind of like you almost hate what you're doing. And it's something – and even though you love it, you may find hate in it because you're like, this is boring. It's getting too easy for me. And that's something I think that people like you, people like Al, you know, everybody out there who's doing these major things, you know, the Frank Crinitis, all them out there that are just massive numbers, just silly numbers, right? Mm-hmm. They do that, but that's because they are always looking for that next level of can I do? Even now, even when they've hit record numbers and they're the number one in the world, they're all this stuff. They hit these numbers, but yet they're still looking for more.
And then to multiply. You know, it's not just, hey, I want to just keep being the best. He wrote a book for it. Why? So that the salespeople inside of our dealership can read it. You know what I mean?
Now that's the thing. You know what I mean? Now he's reaching back, right? And he's trying to bring people with him.
Because that's the thing. It's so boring at the top by yourself. You want other people. And because there is so much opportunity in this business for many other people to come up and do this, let's do it. Let's all rise up like solutionaries and keep growing, man. I love this. This is a great conversation. Yeah, and
for those of you that don't know who Ali Reed is, he's the Guinness Book of World Record holder of most selling of cars.
The top biggity dog.
Yeah, I mean, world record, like number guy. One in the world. Okay, like, can't.
You should check that out. I mean, I'm saying, if you want to learn how to do things, it's one thing to listen to the guy that's selling 20, 30 cars on your floor. It's another thing to listen to the one that's alive and living and teaching it right now.
Now.
He wrote the book on it, and you can read. And it's for free, for crying out loud. The book is
150 plus cars in 1 month. Yeah, like I would be listening to that dude all the time. You know?
I mean, and that's honor. And Ali, we definitely want to make space for you inside of the cafe because you are a solutionary. So you see this, you hear this, go ahead and hit us up. But I want to make sure that we correlate all of that with understanding that the culture is always about finding that next level of growth. And sometimes that next level of growth inside of you can only come when you start pouring out into somebody else. Yeah. And that has been the way that the car business used to always be in the way of, we don't want to share any of our secrets. We don't want to share what it is that we're doing good, that's making us better. We because of the competition, where instead I want the competition to be as good as possible.
I want the car business.
How I'm going to get as good as I can possibly. Right.
I am a preacher of this, and people think I'm crazy, to include my owner even. He thinks I'm crazy because I'm okay. I want my every dealer in my area that I work around, I want them to crush it. Because if everyone is doing well and business is done right, then it's so much easier for all of us. It makes it that much better for people. Everybody will come. I want to buy a car every 2 years instead of every five now because the experience sucks. No, actually, it's great. So let's go every year. Matter of fact, I want to buy everybody in my family car. But that's what will happen. That is what will shift if we can all do that together.
Imagine if when sitting with a customer and they start talking about another dealership that they're in competition with, and salespeople start all saying the same thing of, man, those are some great guys down the street there. Yeah, those are, I can't believe you didn't buy from me. You know what I mean? Wow. I'm so thankful that I have the chance to talk to you now, but those are great guys. I have nothing bad to say. And that was the culture of even taking a TO now. I ain't saying nothing bad about guys.
That's no point.
What's that saying? That those that don't know how to do teach. My saying is those that are succeeding, right? Their obligation is to teach.
Word
you
up.
Know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like, you have to. Like, there's no, that's what I love about this pandemic that we're in. That's what I love about these podcasts. I love, you know, people like you guys, Cirillo, Harris, all these guys that are creating content for the industry, dude. Like, I don't think they realize the impact that they're having, but they're changing the industry. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because people are consuming this information, they're educating themselves, they're becoming better, and they're going to take all that stuff. Maybe they don't post on LinkedIn or on social media and stuff because that's not their thing, but they're getting this knowledge and they're taking it back to their dealerships and they're implementing this stuff. And it's going to look like as time progresses, all this information that we're pumping out into all this content is landing where it needs to go. You know what I mean? And that's going to look, the benefit of that is going to start to show. And I'm just excited, dude, for the next 3 to 5. That's why I always ask in my show, like, what, how do you see the industry in the next 5 years? Because I want to have a documentation of that, you know, and maybe in 10 years from now or whatever, put a compilation of all these people's thoughts and stuff, and then compare it to what reality
really happening. Right. That's a smart idea, man. Genius.
Yes. Yes. That's why I love watching our shows and pre-recording them, because like you'll see, like we're live now with whatever audience we have today that meets us on a Friday night. Right. But in the future, when we release the podcast, kind of seeing what things have transpired in the meantime. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And usually it's so rocking. It's just amazing how that works out. I love that you're doing that, though. And I'm great. I'm glad that we get to be a part of the party. Speaking of a part of the party, hoping things land the right way.
Bam. Man, we are on question number 5. Ooh. Crazy. What a journey this has been. We've done everything from the why. We figured out why you got in the business. We know all those things about you. We know who your mentor was, who you came up in the business with. I mean, come on, the goat, right? So what's amazing about the story that you've told us is that everything that you've brought up is always about sharing and growing with people and helping other people grow up. And that lets me know what kind of person you are so that I can really appreciate. And what I want to tell you is that I honor that. And I want to let you know that's right up our alley. You are a solutionary all day. You're this thing. We have the saying, we like to call it, it's our, I'm gonna get it set up, but 1, 2, 3, you are CGC approved, my friend. So
right on.
Yes, sir, man. We're so happy to have you here tonight, man. Honestly, it's been an honor. And so to get to this 5th question, it's been, what is your greatest reward? You know, you've had a lot of great stuff. You've been able to reach back. You've been reached back to. So we understand that chain. That's a beautiful chain to do. It's a chain of love. And I could see that in your heart that you have a lot of passion and you have a lot of passion for this business. So I'm so thankful that I got to talk with you tonight and getting to know you a little bit more. And hopefully this will grow even to a bigger relationship.
Yeah.
But this 5th question, man, reward, your greatest reward from this business. It could be a multitude of things, I'm sure, but there's something that probably sticks out that really makes your heart just feel really good that you're part of or that you got to bring up. So what would that be?
Yeah, no, first of all, thanks, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. This has been awesome. Great conversation. It's like I said earlier, it's kind of weird being on this side, but it's been nice to kind of think about the journey, right? Because I think a lot of times we're just hustling and doing, and it's, you know, we don't take the time to stop and kind of reflect. So it's been good. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. You know, man, for me, the biggest reward is just being able to do this thing every single day, dude, just go into dealerships. Now at this point in my career, like I have some sort of, I don't know what to call it, if it's credibility or clout or whatever, you know, for whatever it's worth. But, you know, being able to do this day in and day out, man, to be in this business, 20 plus years into it and still be able to get up and go into a dealership and talk to decision makers and talk to salespeople and talk to service advisors and service managers about ways for them to improve. Like I talked about earlier, back to the why, right? It doesn't feel like a job. Maybe it did in the beginning. I'm not even going to lie. Like when I was, you know, when I was busting tires and changing oil and all that stuff, it was like, damn, you know, this is rough. But, you know, somewhere along the journey, it changed into a job, from a job into a career. And there's people that spend 35 years doing something that they hate to do. And I'm never going to experience that. You know what I mean? I'm never going to experience that because I'm doing something that I love to do every single day. And I feel very, very fortunate, dude, to be able to do this thing that I love. So I had one of my GMs ask me the other day, we have these really deep conversations, and he was like, so you believe that this is what you were made to do? Like that you were put on this earth to help dealers like figure out their analytics and marketing and all that stuff? And I thought about it for a second, and I was like, yeah, I really do. I love it, dude. Like I can't think of myself doing anything else. So it's a great feeling.
That is what I'm freaking talking about, man. Dude, you made me feel like, you just made me love my job even more. Mm-hmm. Seriously, you made me love doing podcasts even more. You made me want to keep growing right now. And I appreciate you for bringing those types of words up and talking about that type of passion about this business. You know, we've had a lot of great conversations over the last year, year and 1 month now, right? And we've had some great ones, and it's been a lot of fun. This conversation tonight's right up there for everything, man. You really even made me think about my journey some, and you made me think about a lot of stuff. So appreciative that you spent your Friday night with us, man. I know you're a busy guy, and you got a lot of things going on. So to have this time with you is pretty awesome. And I'm looking forward to having more convo, man. So if there's ever anything you need from us, you let us know.
Oh, you guys, you're coming on the podcast, dude. So then now there's no, like, we got to do this on my show now. So
all right, we definitely making it happen for sure, man. We in. You already know we're in on that. So we'll have some fun. Yeah.
Right, and that's one that's definitely, again, folks, and those of you that are listening, this isn't just a conversation between us three. We want to make sure that our listeners and our viewers, at whatever time you're listening to this, know that the conversation is good when we're all in it. This is what's given the power to this Clubhouse app, right? It's not so much that there's somebody really awesome inside of the room for you to listen to, which is good, but that you actually are in the room and able to be listened to as well. And your story matters. Your experience matters. Your value matters. And I'm thankful that you feel value out of the conversation that we have. And that's what we ultimately want to do with everybody, from the sales desk to the service drive. We want to make sure that everybody feels valued. The person doing their job wants to feel valued and honor the person that they're accepting money from on the other side of the desk. And when we're sitting here talking with other great car guys that are inside of, we're in the same space, right? You would be considered, and consider that. Just look at the precedent that we are setting here for all of you out there in the car business that are worried about the people that would be considered your competitors. We're finding out about what it is that you're doing, or you guys having a good cup of coffee and a conversation to do business better. You can have that. And by golly gee, if you guys hear me, you're going to have a Car Guy Cafe in places throughout the country that are going to be a place where the car guys, the mechanics, the salesmen, everybody, can all go in there, get a cup of coffee and have a good conversation inside of the culture that has its own jargon. We have our own language. You know what I mean? Some people don't know what we're talking about. Our wives roll their eyes once we start getting into a conversation about personal. You know what I mean? We have our own lifestyle, and we should be able to share that together well. And you are a great leader inside of the industry that we are newbies in. We are green peas still in this. You know what I mean? You just got your I guess you kind of just got your big boy shoes after you've been at one place for a year, right? We are just now moving into being kind of knowing what we're doing a bit. And what proves it is that we get the chance to have even a conversation with you, because you're already leading the floor in this. And we're not competitors. We're here to uplift each other. And if
absolutely.
We can be better,
go check out Dilla Talk, folks.
Check him out. And
go check it out. Much love.
Yes. Thank you.
Respect. One love.
Yes. One love. One love,
buddy. Boy,
we love sharing that. And again, I mean, and I can get very wordy and very, very passionate about it, because I believe what I'm saying, and I honor who it is that you are. But we're showing that this is possible for us to join forces and make the industry better, because it's not
absolutely.
About you and the subprime hero and the car guy. It's about an industry being a place that people can build an honorable relationship with the community. You know,
dude, you watch, I'm telling you, man, the next 5 years, this thing's going to look completely, we're going to look back at these times and we're going to be like, what was that back then? Like this whole thing, I'm telling you, man.
Like, yeah. We're like,
it's
what?
Going to be completely different.
Dude, there's no doubt in my mind about that. There's going to be some major changing going on, and I've seen it just in this last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Really, there's been some major changes, and it's going to be some major flips going on in here.
It keeps getting better, baby.
But it is. It's all for the good, folks. Understand that. It's changes are things that are necessary sometimes. Old car guys, understand. You have to change. It's not the same as the 90s and 80s anymore, buddy. It's time to move on. It's time to learn and keep growing. Quit being comfortable. Get out there. Reach back and show people what you know, but also reach back and learn what they're trying to show you. Like he mentioned earlier, you can learn just as much from somebody who's new in this business as you can teach somebody that's new in this business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make sure that you do that, folks.
Yeah, if it's going to come through you, it's going to happen to you. So you might as well let good stuff be given to other people from you, and you'll get to enjoy it also. And again, we're just so thankful and honored that you've spent the time with us tonight. For those of you that have been watching, for those of you that have been listening, thank you again. You are the superstars that are trying to find a way to improve and get yourself better at what you do, and that you should have a hat taken off to you for that. And there are hats available at carguycoffee.com.
Shameless plug, but we got to throw it out there.
You can get you some.
Get them.
But we're talking dealer talk, folks. We're in a very big and important industry, and you're important in it. And so it's just great to have the time to be with great people. Don't forget the relationships that you have, folks. It's important that you build those. And we're so thankful that we have this relationship here tonight. You're such a solutionary. Thank you for being on the show. Fred, I mean, I want to keep this conversation going, and I will if you guys don't stop me.
It's so true, though, but that's why I love you, Lou. When I don't know what to say, I just say, look at Lou. So it works out, and that's why we have such a good partnership, and I appreciate you, man. And it's really fun to sit down. I'm looking forward to one day meeting you at a convention or something. We all sit down and have a good time, maybe we'll host a big show to all three of us do a show together. That'd be a lot of fun. So, but that being said, man, good times tonight. I appreciate you for coming. I know you got a busy weekend coming up. I'm sure if you're much like anybody else, you'd like to get home and share the love with the family too, man. Yes. And I know that we want to do the same. So
I know I'm hungry. Car guys, car gals, we are here with Dealer Talk Live host himself. And man, we are so thankful.
I love that song.
Brother, is there anything that you have to say to the public before we head out for the night?
Man, the only thing is, listen, let's take care of this industry. Let's take care of each other. Let's help each other. If you know anything that's working, if you're having success with anything that you're doing, share it, man. We're all in this together. Let's change this thing. Let's make it better than what it is today.
Right. That is so right. Share and give and love, folks. There's the best way to show appreciation for this business and what it's done for you is to keep giving back to this business. Yes. So I appreciate you for doing that. We're going to keep doing that. Let's all keep growing. Y'all have a great weekend. Yes. We'll see y'all Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Peace.
There is the car guy.
This is Fred Lenars, the subprime hero.
Let's everybody have an incredible, incredible night. Thank you, brother, for being here with us. We are so thankful. Peace, everybody. Have a good weekend and get you some Car Guy Coffee. We are brewing solutions with the best.
Speak it, brew it with the best. This brew has been brought to you by our friends at Dealership Toolkit, Think Ad Group, and the creators of the Nextel app. Thank you so much for supporting this upshifting, uplifting message. We look forward to brewing with you in the future. Let's brew!